Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
What's going on, Kansas City? Chiefs Kingdom, players only.
We back.
Back in full effect every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. We got Joe Mays in the house.
Yes, yes, we are back in the building.
We got out of the cryo bin.
Oh,
got
yeah.
What'd you get? Some massage and everything down at the Leia Center?
Hey, I get everything,
you
man.
You all relax?
Absolutely. Cryotherapy, hyperbaric chamber, you know, a little oxygen chamber that I hop into, and then I get a massage. That just makes sure, that just sets everything up.
That sets you up, right?
Oh, man, I feel great.
Like, you should have a smoking jacket on right now. Like, you should be chilling like that. That's what you're trying to say?
Man, look, I'm relaxing either way. So I should probably give me one of those jackets so I can definitely show people I'm chilling.
And we got a guest in the house. Now, he's a defensive guy.
Yes, we got another one in the building.
He's from Jersey, so he's accepted. We got East Coast in the house,
yep.
Jersey in the house.
Yep.
We got my man, linebacker, started off at Iowa, transferred to Tulane, undrafted free agent, came to Kansas City, played here from 2013 to 2016. We got Desmond Moses in the house.
What's happening?
What's up, fellas? Thank y'all for having me.
I appreciate being here, man.
No problem,
I'm
man.
I'm excited. Let's get it.
Desmond, yeah, you're doing big things around Kansas City, got a real estate business, and you know, set your feet in cement here in the Midwest. And how's that going?
It's going well, man. I'm licensed in Kansas and Missouri, man. We deal with a lot with investment stuff. I got a great team, and we're growing. Our goal is to include everybody, man, link up with some of the guys, some of our former teammates, man, and build up some generational wealth, man. But I'm excited about it, man. We're excited to talk some football tonight.
Oh, yeah. We're
it's
good.
Always good to talk football.
You know what's great? Yeah. And I am Danon Hughes, former wide receiver with the Kansas City Chiefs back in the 90s. Older than these cats right here, but we still have a good time talking about the Chiefs and things that are going on and on and off the field.
Sir.
So if this is the first time you've ever tuned in to Players Only, we had set this foundation, Joe and I, and some old guy named Sean Barber. We don't really talk about
Barbershop.
Him that much. To set the foundation to have a forum where it's just about former players, like we would chop it up in the locker room, about everything that goes on the field, off the field, issues, challenges, politics, everything that happens. We got an opinion, we got a perspective that might just be different than most general fans. I mean, we see the game differently.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in the game. So there's aspects of the game on and off the field that we have a perspective that might not be shared at your local pub with your neighbors and so on. So we like to have this forum. 610 has been gracious enough to allow us this opportunity for the entire season to chop it up about everything that goes on in the world of sports, specifically with football. But I will say, before we move on to the first point about the Chiefs-Chargers review, Desmond, you talked about making your stay here and your home here.
Sure.
There was just a great piece that was done online about how many people stay in Kansas City once they are here as Kansas City Chiefs fan or Kansas City Chiefs players, how they wind up making this their home. I would have never, ever thought that I would not be living in Jersey. Mm-hmm. I would never. My wife's from Jersey. I'm from Jersey. All my family's back there. They're not moving anywhere. And but I thought it was a great piece done by Alan Shope that he talked about just the players that still remain here. And we have the Chiefs ambassadors that still do a lot of charitable events, a lot of speaking engagements. And we have the true, true blessing of Clark Hunt and the Chiefs organization still embracing the former Chiefs that played. It didn't matter if you were a Hall of Famer or a Ring of Honor guy. If you played for the Chiefs and you wore a jersey, you're still welcome with that organization and in this Chiefs community and in Chiefs kingdom. So I think that's cool. Congratulations for that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I had a little baby girl, and that kept me here, but I'm excited to be in Chiefs kingdom, man. These fans are the real deal.
A real deal, right?
It doesn't matter how long you played, how long ago you played, they still embrace you.
Absolutely.
So that's a good thing. So this Chiefs team, they went overseas. I guess you can call it overseas, out of the country, and played in Mexico against the Chargers. And they got a win. Now, ugly win is still a win. It's better than a good loss any day of the week.
Right.
I saw some things in that game that, I should say, concerned me a little bit, but not a lot. I thought that the terrain, the turf, dictated a lot of things on the field where Patrick Mahomes didn't have his best game, threw an interception, only his second of the season. I consider it his first because the first interception was a weak call. It was a flag thrown. He threw it up. It got intercepted. And I still don't understand the rules on that. But he took some chances, but I think he dialed it back into game management mode, which tells me a lot about him.
Yeah.
You don't remember a Brett Favre going into game management. Right. You don't remember gunslingers going into game management. And the fact that he has this kind of dual football personality is impressive to me because I think that if you want to look back at last year, even with the MVP, you can see sometimes where maybe he took a little bit too much chances and it might have bit us. Now you're seeing him recognize, okay, guys are slipping around. The turf is bad. We got divots all over the place. Mm-hmm. Let me dial things back. And if I have to tuck it and run, he led the team with 59 yards rushing in a game. He's doing that. So I was impressed on offense, defense, the defensive backfield, four interceptions. We very rarely get a chance to say great things about the defense with the Chiefs over these last couple of years, but I was impressed there. And ultimately, they got the win. They did exactly what they needed to do to get the win.
Yeah, that's all that matters to me is the win. The one thing that I noticed is that the offense, even though they didn't have as great a game as they wanted to, they had more of a balanced attack. They were able to get, you know, some rushing yards and be able to do things both ways against the Chargers, whether it was passing the ball or rushing the ball. And then on defense, yeah, they gave up a lot of yards, but being in those meetings, the coaches never really cared about how many yards you gave
right.
up. Like that's not
bend, don't break.
Yeah, you bend it, but you don't break, right? Never like break, that's right. not something that you pay attention to at the end of the game.
That's a great point that we're gonna tackle later in another segment called Misconceptions. That could be a great one. But
man, but I mean for them to go out there and get four interceptions, Frank Clark to finally look like he's healthy, be able to provide some pressure on Phillip Rivers and knock him around a little bit, force him into some bad throws, and then made them count. So I mean they dropped one pick, which shows you that they were really out there ball hawking.
Right.
But for them to get those picks and be able to win, go out the game with a win, I think that's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. In my opinion, I think those guys played lights out. As you spoke of with Phillip Rivers and, the quarterback situation, I think that was the greatest issue for San Diego. He never dialed it back. There was never a point where he said, let me go into conservative mode, give my team a chance to win. And I think overall, at the end of the day, his turnovers was the killer. That was the dagger for them. They never could catch their breath, never could really catch their bearings after those big turnovers. But, Pat Mahomes did a heck of a job really honing it in. Yeah. The field wasn't great. We saw that. Early in the game, as a player, you notice those things.
Yeah.
When they put up a video of what they've done to the field in the last 14 days, there's a field issue.
See guys cutting, and you didn't see a lot of guys on camera slipping.
Right.
But you can tell by his eyes and how he was scanning the field that he was just not quite sure that guys were going to keep their footing.
Absolutely.
And I've said it, and you mentioned Phillip Rivers. I think Phillip Rivers is Jeff George 2.0. And Jeff George may be a little too old for you guys, but when he played for the Raiders – and we played against them with the Chiefs. Marty Schottenheimer used to say, he's going to give you a chance to win. You just better be ready to take it.
Right.
And Phillip Rivers, it doesn't matter. He's always going to give you a chance to win. He's always going to give you a chance to take away the ball. You just better be ready. Mm-hmm. He just can't help himself. You just come across those cats that just can't help themselves. Try to push the envelope, yeah. push the button too far.
Right.
You know, they're in a Toyota car, and they're trying to race a Ferrari
right.
and put their foot down on the gas pedal, and it just doesn't work. And, you know, I saw the Honey Badger. He got an interception, but he dropped one.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. it feeds into my mindset as a wide receiver that defensive backs are wide receivers that can't catch.
Well, they said before the game, which I thought was interesting, that Phillip Rivers, you know, they didn't want to go out so far as to call him reckless as a passer.
Yeah.
You know, but I think after last night's performance or the other night, I think it's clear that he's more on wavering towards – reckless.
Yeah, you know, boom or bust. It's boom or bust, really, with him. I mean,
and he's so high strung.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when he's on, yeah. and he's going to mm-hmm. be a Hall of Famer, to me, kind of crazily, because of how many yards he's put up and so on. But he's done, what has he got, 14 touchdowns and 14 interceptions.
Crazy.
And he's fumbled the ball 5 times.
Yeah.
You know, it might be time. And the other thing, he doesn't seem to be a player that you would think of as a backup that would nurture a young quarterback.
Right.
So when people question of whether or not he's going to have a future after this season, his contract's up, I think his career is done. Because I don't see him being that nurturing guy. Now, I could be wrong,
right.
but I don't see him being a backup to Sam Bradford in New York and nurturing him to be a better quarterback. He just seems to be that guy that always has to have his helmet on as opposed to a baseball cap.
I tell you one thing about Phillip Rivers. They love him in that organization, though.
Yeah.
I mean, whether we're sitting here.
Oh, yeah, you played out there.
Yeah, I played out there, so I had a chance to play with him. So it was one of those things where, you know, he would go out there, he would make a play,
sure.
and he would mess up, but he would still get after it and not be scared enough to go out there and perform and be aggressive. And his teammates enjoyed that. The organization enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Now, are they getting tired of it? I'm not sure because he's still out there playing. They have Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
He's shown that he can, you know, he can move the ball up and down the field. So, you know, I guess it's safe to say we're going to see, you know, what's going to happen the rest of the season. And, you know, if he's able to do a little bit better, you know, not put them in terrible positions,
yeah.
I think he have a chance of coming back and them signing them next year.
Yeah, I believe they have a good team.
Yeah, we got the Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line 69306. Text in your questions. We see a bunch of texts up here now. We also got the call-in line for callers, 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610. We had some great callers last week, some contention that was going back and forth, which is great for this forum because I always say, hey, I don't consider myself some kind of great super athlete, but I do know there are a lot of fans, football fans out there, that probably rarely ever get a chance to have a sit-down conversation with an athlete and get that perspective. So this is the forum to do it. So we encourage all calls, all texts, and we're going to tackle some great things. Obviously, Kaepernick was an issue this week, the Garrett Rudolph yes. saga between the Browns and the Steelers. Wow. And we got some other great topics that we're going to talk about as well. But right before we go to break, I see one from the 913. He's got to feed all them kids. He's talking about Phillip Rivers. He might have to be a backup somewhere. That's true. I got five kids.
He got eight.
I would have loved to have a few more years in the NFL with my five kids. So he's got, I think he's got what, eight, seven?
Eight kids. Yeah. And his wife homeschool every last one of them.
Hmm.
So yeah. they
he's
don't have
a
to worry
man
about
than me.
Sending them to school and paying for them to go to school. They do that right in house. And, you know, seeing the type of guy that he is, type of player that he is, I'm pretty sure he don't ease up on his kids. Like, he makes sure that they're going to have a great education.
Yeah.
And they're going to be super smart like he is.
Oh, yeah, for I'm sure.
Sounds like NC his family State. Wants him to keep working.
Oh, yeah.
Your family, yeah.
Hey, family wants him to keep working.
The wife wanted to push you out there. Hey, babe, you ain't got somewhere to go today? You don't got an appearance or something like
hour
that?
Hour 45 you know minute drive? Is. Like, you got to go somewhere, right?
You got to go somewhere. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of the hottest topics and takes that are going on in sports right now. Second quarter here, players only, Joe Mays, Desmond Moses in the house, and I am Danon Hughes, and we're going to go to the text line.
Yes.
We got, obviously, one of the big stories we'll tackle as well from the 515, back it up in Des Moines. I like that.
Okay.
Did Garrett lie about the racial issues? So here's the deal. I think there's going to be facts that can come out now with everyone or the mic being so strong on every single play and what happens on the field, it will be proven whether he was lying or not.
Yeah.
The fact that he said it so late and it's not really pertinent to his case. I mean, he said it happened earlier in the game. Mm-hmm. So you could have handled it right then when it happened as opposed to waiting until the last second. And there was nothing vicious about the hit that told me that he was going after him because he called him the N-word or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lean on the side of it not of it being false. But I think with the mics and the NFL, which they've upheld his suspension right now, I'm going to say that, it, you know, I think it's probably bogus.
Yeah, I think so. For him to come out so late with it, like you said before, it's kind of not even worth talking about just because, I mean, we don't know that for sure. They don't. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence out there. And then it's just his account. Now, you know, granted, you want to be able to, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, if he's going to say something like that, he's not going to lie and try to, you know, give himself a motive or give other people the reason why he did what he did.
Right.
So it just makes you wonder, like, you know, if that was really the case or, you know, if it was something that he felt like he could use to maybe cut down on his suspensions. Not quite sure, but at the end of the day, I don't really think it matters. His suspension was upheld, and now, you know, he's going to be missing some ball for a few weeks.
Yeah, I definitely think it's interesting, and it's funny because when I watched this, you know, my initial reaction was, you know, for his team, they better go into chaos mode.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing I said. I said, he better have said that this kid, it better have been something egregious for him to react and respond the way that he did.
Yeah.
You know, I get emotion, but, you know, for the NFL, it's such a large market. To think if this guy had to hit this kid flush.
Oh, yeah, on his head.
And, you know, lumped this kid up or even worse, this kid, you know, somehow passed away. Imagine the kickback, the feedback that the NFL would have been getting, you know. So I just think, you know, it's a tough position to be in. As a man, you know, that's the conversation you got to go into the tunnel. You know, you got to pull him to the side and say, hey, this is what happened.
Right.
I don't care if y'all defend him. That's your guy. And you got to stand in here with him. But we have to address this as two men.
And as two men, you also have relationships on other teams. Regardless of how fierce the competition is, I know somebody on the other team, and they know me. And there's a, you know, especially nowadays with social media and guys working out together in Arizona and California and Florida,
sure.
You have relationships. You can go to that other guy and be like, look, I know what the media is going to say. I know what I'm telling you what's real. And you have that trusted relationship. And so far, you haven't seen either side kind of sway in that. You don't see the severe support of Garrett, and you don't see anybody kind of dodging Rudolph on the Steelers. You just, I mean, so it's going to be his word versus the other person's word, but there's going to be audio, and you guys know,
sure.
And the fans, will you hear always hear us talk about, film don't lie, well, the recording won't lie.
No, not at all.
It exposes everything.
Everything's mic'd up.
Ears everywhere.
Yep.
Everywhere.
So, and you know, just to put a cap on that and wrap it up with the whole situation, he was dead wrong for hitting him with the helmet.
Absolutely.
He was not dead wrong for anything else. He was on the bottom of a pile, thought he had a sack, rolled over, he didn't even garner a penalty at the time. And nowadays, when you're protecting quarterbacks, it didn't even throw a flag at the time. Like,
right.
He viciously hit him or put his full weight on him, which is garbage. I don't know how you tackle somebody without putting weight on him.
Right.
And then
crazy, right? And
rolled over, and next thing you know, he's got somebody pushing up in his helmet, ripping his helmet off. The thing is, Mason Rudolph was not successful, but Myles Garrett was successful in getting what was done. And where he went wrong, where he turned left, was swinging the helmet. Other than that, it should have been more. It should have been just a penalty, maybe a fine, but it should not have garnered any kind of suspension until he swung the helmet. That's my take on it. I know everybody on social media, you can only do but so much in 140 characters, but now you hear it first.
Quick question, because I wanted this, because when I first seen it, I thought to myself, oh, man, this is back to regular normal football that I'm used to.
Right.
From back in the days where you love seeing them guys go out there and they're brawling and, you know, they're doing these different things. So from that standpoint, I enjoyed it. But, you know, when you go as far as, you know, swinging a helmet on the quarterback, I mean, that's not cool. But is there a certain part of it that you guys really enjoyed? Like, I mean, I might be one of the only ones.
You want us to go in the dark side. You want Desmond to go back to the dark side.
Hey, look, you want me to take it back to Jersey.
That's what the show's about, right? Like, I mean, you know what? Why not talk about it? You know, like, did it really remind you guys of, like, the old football days where them guys just didn't really have –
The code. Yeah. It was a no code. You know what? I can appreciate that part of the game, especially as a defender, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think the game is somewhat vanilla now, but I definitely enjoy that real brotherhood. You know, you saw it, I think, in a moment, unfortunately, a really ugly moment.
Yeah.
But you seen how guys came together. They had their brothers back. You know, they were really willing to, you know, throw blows for the guys. And I think that's important. You know, that's what the league used to be before it was all a, you know, the working out together.
Yeah.
And you were a tight-knit group with your guys. You know, you were willing to go to war with them.
Yep. I would say this from my perspective, and I'm not an official on this. I think guys now, and this is totally my opinion, and I could be proven wrong, I think guys now play for the NFL with just so happen to play for a certain team.
Yep.
Back when we were playing, or when I was playing, I played for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I bled Chiefs. I hated everybody that opposed the Chiefs.
Right.
Anybody in the AFC West was my enemy.
Yep.
They kicked my dog. They spit on my sister. They said something about my mama.
Yep.
Before every game, I felt like that. And, you know, so you kind of wear that, and that's your conditioning for the rest of your life.
Right.
And I think nowadays, because of the camaraderie and the stuff that goes on off the field, I kind of feel like they're playing in the NFL.
Right.
And they just happen to wear this certain jersey, and they might switch. And, you know, Marcus Peters might go from the Chiefs to out to the Rams, and now to the Ravens. And when he's all said and done, he's just going to consider himself an NFL player.
Well, let me ask you this, though. What, do you think that the NFL, the idea to where that guys can be released midseason, do you think that it fosters these type of ideas? Because, you know, we've seen guys who started, you know, Ron P, for instance, guys who started 7 years, you know, cut before a specific game, and it's like, it reminds you as a player that, you know, as much as we say this is family, 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 and those guys, you know, even back to Pop Warner, Willenboro, New Jersey, my guys, I know on the way home, these guys that I'm in my uniform with, if something happened, we're going, we you know, together. It's together.
Right.
It's family.
Brotherhood. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's real.
It's different, man. It is different. Mm-hmm. Part of it is the business,
mm-hmm.
and part of it is just the nature of players seem to take care of each other more.
Sure.
There's a lot more helping each other up and smiling on the field
yeah.
and patting each other on the back between plays and
and
all that stuff. And I don't think I've ever given somebody a five during a game. I don't think I ever help somebody up. Now, that doesn't make me a tough guy. That just makes me a condition mentally that was like, you know, that was like taboo. You don't do that. Oh, somebody in another jersey, you know, I'll see you after the game, and maybe we can have a few drinks in the parking lot before y'all leave to the airport. But that's it. I mean, during those 60 minutes, there's nothing we can talk about. There's nothing I should be smiling at you about.
True.
Yeah.
You know?
True. Yeah. But you know what? I mean, to answer your question, though, I think the business side of football definitely takes that away, takes away the brotherhood that you build, the camaraderie that you build with your team. It's kind of hard to sit there and build, you know, something that you really feel like is close knit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week you're gone without any, you know, instruction or, you know, without them giving you any information on why.
Yep.
So, you know, with these guys nowadays, it's all about, you know, what can you do for me lately? So, you know, instead of showing up and playing for the brothers, you're showing up and playing for yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where the motives come in. I'm playing for money. I'm playing for fame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing so I can be famous out there. Whenever I walk around, people know my name. Like, I mean,
you know what's
it's just
funny,
unfortunate.
Though? I think the teams that can still bottle up that energy, you know, the Patriots, the teams that consistently go and win championships, somehow, even when I was in Green, my time there, it was, you felt that family. Somehow they still foster that environment to where no matter where we come in at, you know, you got to play your best or your brother's going to.
Yep.
And it's not about you. It's about
gotta
the
look
team.
You got to look at that guy across from you in that
accountability.
Locker room. And he got to know, and you got to feel like he knows that I gave everything on the field.
Absolutely.
And whether, no matter what the scoreboard was. We got a couple of good texts from the 316. He said, we played in the league, predominantly African-American. Have you ever been around a situation where players have used racial slurs against you on the field? Quick answer, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that does happen on the field. And you guys, we talked a lot last week from the 785. We talked a lot about Kaepernick. People called and said he was in trouble and a bad employee. And he moves locations. You know what? There's a business side, like we referenced. There's a business side. And ultimately, what it comes down to, forget all the extra noise on the outside. What it came down to, in my perspective, was there was an agreement or a waiver form that was not conducive for him to sign, whether it was standard or not standard based on his relationship and the history of he and the NFL, it did not make legal sense for him to sign. Now, it could be that it would have been the same agreement that you and I have signed, but we don't have the history of distrust. We don't have the perception of blackballing. We don't have everything that surrounds Kaepernick and the NFL. So does that warrant that there be a different waiver? Could possibly be. I mean, we take history into everything. And so to answer that person's question and to put a bow on this and not go too deep into Kaepernick, because we could take shows up from my perspective.
For sure.
It came down to the agreement, the waiver form, and it was not conducive legally for him based on the history he had with the NFL. But he still wants to play football.
Yeah, and he couldn't have any media there. That's something that they didn't really shed a light on.
Transparency.
He couldn't have any media, no video, no nothing. So, you know, the only teams that were able to come in and see him, they were the only ones that can see him perform. Right. So he couldn't have any film, no media outlets or anything like that. So I felt like, you know, they were basically giving him this deal with, you know, it came with, you know, instructions. Like he had to bottle it at a certain point and he couldn't really go out there and do what he needed to do. So, for that guy that said we were ball washing, I figured I would throw that on.
I was trying to clean it up. Yeah, I was trying to keep it clean. Thanks, Joe.
It's okay. I mean, you try to clean everything up. I like to see it for what it is. I mean, we wasn't necessarily doing that. We just wanted to make sure that man, you know, he speak what he speak and he get his fair due. That's it.
And the perspective is the perspective and it doesn't have to be agreed upon. But I will say this. I've been getting arguments on social media with people. You know, they see me with pictures with Cap. I know people. I know Cap. I know a lot of people around him. If I'm saying it and you are speculating, which way would you lean? I'm not saying that I'm 100% true, but which way would you lean, just generally speaking? There's a much better chance that what I'm speaking is probably more correct than what you're probably hearing on mainstream. That's it. Well, we're going to take a break. We got halftime. Halftime is among us. We're going to get some juice. Got some Tohi sitting here.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the Chiefs' grades thus far with this bye week coming up. And then maybe some misconceptions, which we already touched on earlier, about NFL players or pro athletes and misconceptions in mainstream. Halftime's over. We got our juice. Got some fruit. Got tighten things up for the rest of the show, like the second half of the Chiefs game. And we go into the text line at 913. Love this show, guys. Awesome players' perspectives on things. Appreciate you doing this. We appreciate you listening in. Just a different perspective, guys. That's all it is. Maybe a perspective that you don't hear very often. 913, we got Frank Clark that good again from the 515. Do you guys think we can see Frank Clark be that good again? You defensive guys.
I think so. I think, you know, what's been coming out about him, he's been having some issues with his neck. I mean, that's nothing to play with. You know, when it comes to your neck, you want to go out there and give everything you have. And if you dive in there on a tackle and you hit it the wrong way or someone come in there and hit you, that's kind of – you're kind of putting yourself in a position where your career can potentially be over. So for him to come back from that and play as well as he did, I have a feeling that he's going to come back and play well throughout the entire season as long as he's healthy. So, I mean, he did a hell of a job, you know, keeping some pressure on Phillip Rivers and forcing them into bad situations. I mean, granted, it was against their backup tackle, but when you're faced with that situation, you have to take advantage of it, and he did that. Now, you know, moving forward to the rest of the season, those guys are going to be dependent on him to get that in order to, you know, put these quarterbacks in bad situations, because now – you have a back end that's really hungry to get those interceptions. They pulled down four, and now they're ready to pull down some more. So I think he's going to be better.
Yeah, I agree, man. I like Frank Clark, man. He's a motor guy, high energy. I think for him, you know, as well as getting his health right, is making sure that guy's fresh, you know, on Sundays, man.
Mm-hmm.
For those guys that play 60, 70 plays, and he seems like an every down guy, they only have two active DNs. You got to keep those guys fresh, man, during the week. Throughout the week, let them catch their legs so they can come out there and wreck the game on Sundays.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Well, staying in line with not just Frank Clark and the defense, but I want to give some grades out. Normally, you want to give it around the mid part of the season, usually when the bye week comes, give or take a week or so. But now with this extended season and them going to Mexico and having to bye in week 12, to me, it's time to give some grades. I mean, there's more than a sample sample source of what we see on the field. For me, I'm going to give a C to the O-line. I think they can be better. Mm-hmm. There was obviously issues with protecting Patrick Mahomes, and they really have not established a run game on a consistent level. In order to be proficient in December and January, you got to have a run game. Mm-hmm. So the O-line gets a C. Still passing, but can definitely do better. The running backs get a C. Fumbling the ball, being careless with the football. We've had the guys on the shelf in the tub hurt. There definitely can be an upgrade in that. Wide receivers, tight ends, I'm going to give a B+. I think when Tyreek went down, Sammy Watkins has been in and out. They can definitely be better, but with the guys that filled in and with the emergence of Mecole Hardman and what he's been able to do, basically he has averaged a touchdown every five times he's caught a pass. Wow. To me, that warrants a B+. So on the offensive side, what do you guys see?
Well, on the defensive side, for sure. D-line, you know, as much as we're giving Frank Clark and, you know, giving him all his credit, you know, so far this season, they haven't really done as great as they would want to, especially against the run game. So I would have to give them a C-. I mean, you know, it's definitely room for improvement. You know, I expect them to come out there and play better after the bye week. You know, they can get a chance to get rested up, you know, watch the film, see what they're lacking in, and get better. When it comes to the linebackers, you know what? It's just been one of those seasons. You got guys that can come downhill, that can play the pass. When it comes to coming downhill, you haven't really seen that as much, you know, especially with having Reggie Ragland, which that's what he's known to come down and thump.
Yeah. Right.
And then, you know, also having 5'3", he's been known to come down to thump too. But you haven't really seen that, so I'm going to have to give these guys a C. When it comes to the back end, so it's been so many different things that's been going on this season. I mean, you know, whether it was busting coverages, missing tackles, you know, guys just coming up short. I think it's C's across the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys, they I'm sure they're going to look at the film and see that there's a lot of things that they can learn from, that they're going to learn from, and that they're going to improve on.
Yeah. I agree. I'm right along with you, man. I think C's across the board, plus or minuses, however you want to go there. With the defensive line, it's tough when you don't have a ton of depth, you know, especially if you're playing, you know, down in and down out.
Yeah.
At the linebacker position, you know, I still like those guys. I know Reggie since he was in high school, literally.
Nice.
I trained out there in Huntsville, Alabama with him. And, you know, the guy's a football player. He loves the game. Hitch, Iowa guy, loves the game. These guys are studying. They're doing what they need to do. Nonetheless, once you shore up that run, man, and I think it starts with the front four, you know, they get a couple more guys out there, some more depth on those rundowns to where they can really get into those pass downs where they can bring their guys on fresh, third down, third and long, second and long, pin their ears back and go get some guys.
Yeah, I mean, and when it comes to the D-line and the linebackers, they pretty much go hand-to-hand, especially in the run game. I mean, those are the guys that they are pretty much banking on to stop the run.
Absolutely.
So, you know, each guy have a gap. If you're not in that gap, you're going to create space for, you know, create this huge hole for the running backs to get through. I mean, so far they haven't really necessarily been gap sound like they want to. But like I said, they got a ton of time to watch the film, learn from it. You know, they get a chance to understand how your teammates play so you can all go out there and roll.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you guys. I think the D-line, from my perspective, is a C+-ish, but I can give them a C. Linebackers, I'm going to be a little bit more harsh with a D because I see reaction. I don't see instinct.
Yes.
Instinctive play. You know, I want to see – I've been, you know, jaded just a little bit because, you know, Derek Johnson around here, I remember him shooting through and snuffing out a run play just as it's developing because of whether he saw something or a study, and I haven't seen that type of play from our linebacking core. And the DBs, it's tough because, you know, you're catching me after a four-interception game. You know what I mean? And granted, the two interceptions were by the defensive backfield – you know, I'm gonna lean in and give them a B+ right now. I think they can be better tacklers. But, you know, when you get the ball turned over and not giving up big plays down the field outside of the one at the end of the game, to me, that's pretty solid. So I think the grades are justified right now, and if this team can get back healthy, fully healthy, they can make a strong run in the fourth quarter of the season. So
100%.
That's where I'm at with it. But one new segment – and we only have a few minutes to tackle it, and we're going to do it every few games or so on as things come to mind, as misconceptions around the NFL. misconceptions that you guys, maybe one or two misconceptions that you guys think and I think that the general public has no clue about or thinks totally opposite about. You know, I'll go on the easy route. Tickets. Players get two free tickets.
Players pay for those.
And you pay for the rest. So if you got a wife and kids or you got family coming in town, you are buying the tickets for everybody and you pay the taxes on those tickets for everybody. So the misconception out there is that because you wear a jersey, you get all that you want. It's not the truth. That's a fact. You pay for the tickets. It is taken out of your check.
Yes.
So when you have that auto deposit, or back in my day, we actually went upstairs and got a physical check. Mm-hmm. It was already minus everything, whether it was a fine or tickets or anything else, equipment that we bought or extra stuff that we might have purchased. It's already gone from our check.
You know what? How about You only show up on game day. Like, there's no such thing as working and practicing throughout the week as if you're not a normal day-to-day, you know, 9-to-5 player. I mean, when it came to us, we were there from 6 till 6.
Yeah.
So we were there for 12 hours.
Six really, till six.
Yeah, really, you know, really busting our tail and getting ourselves ready, whether it was, you know, recovering from the game before, whether it was working out, trying to make sure that our bodies stay right, or watching film, trying to make sure that we have everything going for ourselves when it comes to knowing the game plan. I mean, people just really need to understand, you know, that
it's a job.
Guys, I mean, it's a true job, and guys don't just show up on Sundays.
Yeah. What you got, Des?
I think the greatest misconception I hear is when you hear somebody say, "Oh, that guy sucks." You know, nobody sucks, man. These guys are the real deal. Even all the way down to you know, that last guy who you think may sloppy, like, "Oh, I can beat him to the." No, you can't. Yeah. Like that. So just know.
I can play better than him on my best.
I
think your best day is pretty much a below average day for the normal athlete. So,
or even catching the ball, you know, guys. Yeah, you should have caught that. Like, you understand.
I mean, you catching the ball and then you got guys breathing down your neck. I mean, it's kind of tough. So
it's different.
Yep. All right, guys, we got a whole bunch more we can add to that, but we gotta do a little Chiefs-Raiders preview. Next week, there's this small holiday called Thanksgiving, so we ain't going to be on the air. We're going to have, what is it, the tryptophan coma. We're going to eat a lot of turkey, going to be sleeping, hands on our stomach, shirts all untucked. You guys, and for all the fans out there, at DAHughesGuy83 is my Twitter handle. Check out my Thanksgiving plate. I'm a one-hit wonder on Thanksgiving, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the Chiefs-Raiders preview.
What's happening, everybody? We are back on the show, and we're looking at the text line right now and just reading a couple of messages. One of them from 816. I'm not going to read the rest of the number, but do you guys have to pay for shoes and gloves and stuff like that? Well, it's the complete opposite. We get paid to wear those shoes. We get paid to wear those gloves. And when it comes to the equipment, we get that stuff for free. So, I mean,
guys have contracts.
Yeah, we have everyone signs a contract when you come to the league. Well, mostly everyone, where you get a chance to, you know, wear Nike or Adidas or anything like that, and they pay you to do that. Yep. So it's
pretty
cool.
And they give you the stuff for free.
So yes,
that's one thing we don't pay for. From the 913, a misconception: NFL players don't know how to manage money. I will say most NFL players do know how to manage money, but there are some that don't. And I'll go back to my own story. I literally was living off a $10 per day, per diem. And then a week later, I had six figures in my bank account. Never had any kind of money before that. Didn't know what the heck to do with it. Bought my first car over the phone. So from my perspective, I didn't know how to manage money, but I learned how to manage money. You can't learn how to manage money if you don't have money.
Right. So exactly.
That is not a misconception. That's a conception. All right. I don't care what classes you take. So yeah, there's some things out there, and there's some guys, you know, there's 1,800 players, and there's a small percentage of guys that have no idea what to do with things and don't have the right people around them. But there's a larger percentage, just like people that get in trouble, players that are on the news, players that domestic violence, that's a very, very small percentage compared to the big picture.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, the Chiefs and the Raiders. Ooh. We can't have no smiles in the studio.
No.
You talk about the Raiders, you got to have a scowl on your face,
man,
in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs got them coming up after Thanksgiving. We got this weekend off. We got them coming up after Thanksgiving. What you seeing the Raiders and the Chiefs?
They're playing well.
they're playing really well. I mean, if you pay attention, that they have a ton of rookies that's playing for them, and they're really doing great things for them. I mean, you know, Josh Jacobs, he's been able to run the ball pretty successfully so far in his career. Yep. They have two defensive ends that they drafted pretty early in the draft, and Max Crosby and the other guy from Clemson, Clelin Ferrell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Max Crosby had 4 sacks last week. I mean, and that's not
– He comes off that edge, bro.
Yes, he do. And, I mean, and that's not something you get lucky with.
No.
Like, you have to go out there and you have to play with technique. You have to, you know, make sure that you're learning your opponent and what they can and what they can't do and take advantage of it. But those guys are playing really, 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 really well.
Well, we got a caller on line one. We got Chris from Excelsior Springs. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing all right, man.
How about yourself?
Hey, I'm pretty good. Thanks for asking. I wanted to know about the misconception of the NFL players. Charities, is that something that's mandatory, or is that generally from the heart with most players?
Great question, Chris. Yeah. Thanks for calling in the Players Only. For me, and you guys can answer from your perspective, nothing is mandatory. It is encouraged. Mm-hmm. Lamar Hunt and now Clark Hunt really was very, very strongly an advocate of us being a part of the community, mm-hmm. and players have it in their heart to give back. I mean, you don't forget, you know, I grew up, you don't forget where you come from. And whether you're giving to different charities around Kansas City, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, you know, all kind of different charities. I don't want to get into listing a whole bunch, but it's kind of instilled in you based on your organization. So it is not forced, but it is encouraged. And to my knowledge, there's never been a player that has negated that.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the Desmond Moses Foundation while I played and, mm-hmm. You know, revamping it, but it was for Down syndrome and special needs children, you know, Special Olympics, just helping them acclimate to normal life. I have a godson who had Down syndrome. So everybody has their thing that they're passionate about,
yep.
That they want to give back. You know, we're all grateful to be in a position,
yes.
especially if you can make it to that level. So I think it's just something that's ingrained in most of these guys.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, being my younger self and, you know, having the luxury of meeting these NFL players and wanting to be in their shoes, mm-hmm. but them giving back to us because they've been in our shoes before.
Right.
So, you know, when I was in a position that I was in, whenever anything came up, when it came to charity, I was all for it. You know, just thinking about my younger self and wanting to be there and see these guys and how they're just normal, regular people.
Right.
Even though each and every Sunday we watch them play the game and we're thinking, man, these people are like superstars. they're rock stars.
Yeah.
You know, they're idols. But, you know, having a chance to see them off the field, you get a chance to, you know, really sit there and like, man, I really want to be like them because they're so humble and they give back because they've been in the same positions that we've all been in.
Guys recognize how to have a light switch. They always talk about a light switch mentality. You know, I always talk about in the locker room, there were guys playing dominoes, playing cards, listening to music, dancing around. And then the strength coach would come in and say, 5 minutes till kickoff. And it was like, bang.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, now the darkest part of that person has come out.
Yeah.
And it's now time to go to business. And you, so I'm going, you know, parting along with what you said about real guys. Guys mm-hmm. are just real dudes. But they have a super skill that they can go out on the field and entertain people on Sundays or Mondays or Thursday nights wearing a football jersey. So it's not like they're superhuman. It's not like they are heartless mm-hmm. because they swing a helmet or because they get in fights. We don't think that about hockey players. We don't think that about baseball players that bean people. We don't think that about basketball players that undercut people. But for some reason, football players get a tag of being a little bit extra in the negative side mm-hmm. than any other sport. So guys are real and their hearts are real and they want to give back to the community. I think the Chiefs do it second to none around the NFL. We got another text from 913. Thanks a lot, Chris. We got another text from 913. Curious, how do average Joes come to you guys with investment ideas? I bet you hear some completely ridiculous stuff. Yes. And you wind up building up a wall. And we're all laughing in here right now because you have guys come to you with insane ideas and you wind up building up a wall where you almost don't trust a whole lot of people. And sometimes it can work negatively later in life when you do have those opportunities. And but you know what? I wouldn't change that experience for the world. I know none of us would either.
No, absolutely not.
Well, guys, we are done. Players only. Week 12.
That was quick.
It's a wrap. The Chiefs ain't playing this week, but they're going to play the Raiders next week after Thanksgiving. Chiefs will win at home. We own the AFC West. We own teams after bye weeks, and we own team in Arrowhead, except for this season. But I think they'll bounce back this week.
Yes.
Desmond, thanks for coming out.
Thank you for
Joe, you the man, always being here every week. Next week, I should say next week we're off. The week after that, we'll be eating a lot next week. The week after that, tune back in to Players Only. We're going to have some fun stuff to chat about. Appreciate y'all. Go Chiefs.
This is Players Only.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.